We're going to preach tonight on five purposes of clothing in the Bible. Five purposes of clothing in the Bible. This morning we preached that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And when he said this last part about the life, a Christian life is different than the world's way of living. We have a different way of living. We have a different way of raising our children. We have a different way of running our marriages. We have a different way of educating our children. We have a different way of operation in every realm of life. And one of those realms of life is the realm of clothing. And I want you to look now. Genesis is a seed bed. It's the seed bed of doctrine in the Bible. Every doctrine that's in the Bible is embedded in Genesis chapter 3, one way or another. And if Genesis mentions it, it's important, I promise you. And if God mentions it quick, it's really important. It is amazing to me that the very first thing that God did with the first people he ever redeemed, he changed their clothes. I want you to think about that. The very first thing that God did with the very first people he ever saved, he changed their clothes. They had clothed themselves. God didn't accept it. And when he redeemed them, then he prepared their clothing. He told them what to wear and prepared for them. And I want you to think about that. Now, tonight, what we're preaching on is not about salvation. It's about sanctification. It's about letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's about reflecting Jesus Christ to the world around you. Man looks upon the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. But man does look upon the outward appearance. And outward appearance tells people things. It sends a message. Even the world has a saying that goes like this. Your clothes say it for you. That used to be a fashion design statement, but it was true. And they meant it because they knew it was true. Your clothes say it for you. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse number 21, the Bible said, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Of course, there's a doctrine of salvation in here about this because they had sewed fig leaves on themselves when they realized they were naked. And the Bible said something that was connected to nakedness. They said they were ashamed. And the other thing it says about the nakedness, they were afraid. Nakedness and shame and fear all run together. And when a nation is in bad shape is when there's no more any shame to things that they ought to be ashamed for. Brother Terry taught a class one time, great class, about that they could not blush. They'd gotten so accustomed to their sin, they couldn't even blush. Many of you know of Norman Rockwell paintings in the mid-19th century, I guess mid-20th century. Norman Rockwell would paint paintings for the, Saturday Evening Post. Tremendous, tremendous. I'm telling you what, that guy, as far as I'm concerned, probably one of the greatest artists of all time. How that guy could come up with a painting that reflected a message of everyday American life and send a message across America through a drawing and a painting baffles my mind. How he could be so, I mean, that guy was smart and skilled. One of his most famous paintings was a 12-year-old girl coming down the sidewalk of an American city. And in the painting, you could see the wind blowing, even though it was still. I mean, when you glanced at this painting, the wind was blowing. This 12-year-old girl was walking down the sidewalk, and the wind had blowed her, has tried to blow her dress up. And this 12-year-old girl is holding her dress down in the wind. It was a picture of America's morality. It spoke volumes to American culture. And it said this, that even our children understand the importance of modesty and dress. And it is a tremendous, it had a tremendous impact on people. Now, let me say before we get further into this message tonight that in the way of introduction, the question tonight is not, first of all, how should we dress? What part does what's the Bible have to say about clothing? The question is really this. Is the Bible my authority for faith and practice? And am I submitted to it? That's really the main question that needs to be asked, okay? And I want to be very, very kind and considerate, and I want to speak the truth in love tonight, because you're living in a generation, your children are growing up in a decadent, vile generation, to where if you're not careful, your children will be so used to nakedness and pornography that they won't think anything about it. A church of Jesus Christ should never get to that place. We ought to always be shocked by nakedness. We ought to be shocked by immodesty. Our children in this church need to have a very keen sense of modesty, and they have a keen understanding of the importance of not being naked in any form. So the question is the Bible my authority for faith and practice? Now, I want to say this kindly tonight. If the Bible is not your source of authority in all areas of life, I question whether you've ever been converted or not. Because the most automatic thing that comes with conversion is, I have surrendered to God, I have been converted to Jesus Christ, He has become my Lord and my Master, and I need to be obedient. There is no such a thing as being a Christian and saying, I don't care what God says about anything. That's nonsense. That's craziness. I could not believe, let me show you this, that's almost reprobation. Let me give you an illustration of what's happened in this country. There's a 17-year-old boy broke into a 70-year-old lady's house recently. She called the police, and she had a gun, and as he was leaving her house, she shot and killed him. The family now is trying to get basis for suing this 70-year-old woman. And in the discussion, the sister of this 17-year-old boy said this statement. She got to know how he going to buy his books for school if he don't rob somebody. I read that and I thought, you got to be kidding me. This boy's sister says that he needs school books, quote, which I think is a big fat lie. He's not robbing her to buy school books. He's robbing her to buy drugs. But that's how reprobate people are thinking in America. They want to sue a lady who shot a kid for robbing her home. And make the statement, she got to know how he going to buy his school books if he don't get them from somebody. He going to get money and stuff and people to sell from somebody. Folks, that's stupid. That's so off the charts. But that's where a lot, I'm telling you, that's where a lot of people are at. That's Bernie voters for you. That's socialism. They think, what's yours is mine. And if I have to take it from you, that's just the way it is. And but the only thing about it is the political socialistic situation wants to do it through laws. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is this. We think, well, that's off the wall. Well, I'll tell you this. It's just as much off the wall for me to claim to be a Christian and then to come across something the Bible says, well, I don't care what God says. I ain't doing that. I don't care what God says about that. I'm not going to obey that. So I'm asking you that. Now, listen. First, and then let me say, second of all, it's a pitiful shame that a preacher has to preach on this. When I was growing up, preachers never preached on dress. Didn't have to. But then as I got into my late teens and stuff, they should have and didn't. And so it's a shame that it has to be preached on. But I will tell you this tonight. I don't want you to get defensive. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible about this. It's unbelievable how much stuff. If you look up all the words that's connected to clothing, like garments and so forth, it's attire and all that kind of stuff. It's unreal how much God. In fact, God equates our salvation to being clothed. He talks about that we're clothed with the garment of righteousness. When the saints come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, said they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. God talks about that we ought to be clothed with humility. So there's a clothing spiritually and there's a clothing physically. And tonight we're looking at the physical aspect of being clothed, okay? Now, I want to say something further. Sometimes I get in the flesh when I'm preaching. I'm very well aware of that. And I don't want to do that tonight in any way, shape, or form. But I know something's going on in this country. Preachers are terrified to preach on clothing. They're terrified to preach on it. And I have never heard such flimsy excuses from preachers about why they will not preach on clothing. And it, they know and took, but the Bible said the fear of man bringeth a snare. Used to preachers would say, Lord, help me to preach without fear or favor of man. And they loved people enough just to say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And you can take it out on me if you want to, and you can get it in for me, but you're really, you got it in for God. And so tonight we're going to take off and let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you have the way of life, that you are our life. And Lord, we don't want to exclude any areas of our life from your jurisdiction and your authority. And Lord, this is an important area. When I think about the fact, Lord, that you changed the clothing of the first people you ever saved. Lord, it ought to tell us something tonight that this is an important area for us. I thank you, Lord, for preachers, for people in my life that you brought me along the way that loved me enough to tell me some things I didn't want to hear. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit worked in my heart and got me past my irritation and my anger and my animosity and made me see, Lord, that you had my best in mind. And Lord, tonight I pray that through this that you might be glorified, that our families would have life in them. Lord, I pray that you'd help folks to see this tonight as a blessing and not a curse, that you're not after them, Lord, that as Paul said, Lord, that it's not for your destruction. And I pray that, Lord, you enable people tonight to see it as a blessing. And so, Lord, we pray tonight the end would be that you'd be glorified and that, Lord, the folks around us would see a difference in us because we're in Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. If you want to write this down tonight, the first biblical purpose of clothing the Bible gives is protection. Protection. Clothing is given in Scripture for protection. I have a spot here on my right side of my face. I've had it cut out once. And the doctor tells me, he said, Reggie, you'd be better off to wear a hat that does not allow the sun to get on that. You know as well as I do that much skin cancer is caused by too much exposure to the sun. And so it can be either way. But for like protection from the cold, protection from the elements, from rain and so forth, like God gives clothing as a protection issue. So first thing that God does, David talked about, the Bible talked about they clothed David so he would be warm. Aren't you thankful for warm clothes? In working places, they'll put hard hats on. That's part of their, or safety glasses on. It's to protect us. I'm telling you something. I'm the older I get, and if you're around equipment and so forth like that, steel-toed boots. Ezra here one day was working for us out the mill, and they were trying to roll a log over, and all of a sudden he got his foot in between the log and a piece of steel. And I'm telling you something, I thought the boy was going to lose his foot or toe, didn't you? And Ezra thought he had lost it inside his boot. We took him to the house, took his boot off. You didn't know that, did you? Oh, you did know it. Well, I thought, man, if he didn't tell his mama, I'm in big trouble. And after that, I told the boys, I want you to wear steel-toed boots. Clothing is for protection for the elements. And it's not just cold, but it can be heat and so forth like that. Not going to spend a lot of time on it. But you can look up Exodus 22:26 if you want to write that down. But it's the cold, heat from injury, from damage and so forth like that. And God gives clothing for protection. Just very simple. Doesn't that not make sense? I mean, who wants to bale hay naked? How many here has ever bucked hay bales? All right, how many has ever bucked hay bales in Bermuda shorts? Okay, it don't make sense, does it? You understand that it's very common. You know, God's not off the charts. God's not being stupid when he says clothing is for your protection. I want to give you one more. It is for your physical protection. I'm going to tell you, there's a woman who here, I don't know, it's been a few months ago, who did an interview with some outfit, and I forget what the name was, but she, and boy, the feminists got mad at her. But she talked about when she was raped up around Chicago when she was in her early 20s by a motorcycle gang. And she said this. She said, you know, I'm not saying that they're not guilty. But what she said I am saying is this, that I was dressed and acting in such a way as to provoke lust. And she said, I'm not going to go through the rest of my life denying the fact that I was dressed with nearly nothing on. I was drinking with those guys and I was seducing them and trying to fire them up. And when it turned out to be a rape case, She said, yeah, they were guilty. They should not have raped me. But she said, I'm woman enough now to admit I should not have been dressed. She said, had I been dressed modestly, they probably would have never raped me. Clothing is, girls, I'm going to tell you something, being clothed modesty is a great deterrent from that type of activity, I'm telling you. It sends a message. You are not available, and you are not, you do not have the wrong kind of mindset. It's not just physical protection, but for which would be physical, but also an emotional and spiritual thing. Second reason for clothing tonight is the covering of nakedness, covering or modesty. Genesis chapter 3, where you're at there, and in verse number 7, the Bible said, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, there's a lot of difference between aprons and something that really covers you up. You know what? Jungle people still wear aprons. They call it, a lot of the Indians in America wore loin cloths. That's almost nothing, folks. That's almost nothing. What Adam and Eve did, number one, the skins reflected the blood sacrifice of the Redeemer, okay? That's why the skins was there. But they sewed together fig leaves. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know much about fig leaves, but I'm going to give it good credit and say the fig leaves is that big around. Can you imagine sewing fig leaves together and making yourself an apron? You didn't have much on. God said, that's not going to cut it. I don't like that. That's nakedness. We're going to do something different. And so the second principle here is modesty of nakedness. And verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I'm going to tell you something. Nakedness has a tendency to make people want to hide from God. It will not cause you to draw near to God. It'll cause you to draw away from God. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 32. And if you want to write down, you're welcome to write down these scriptures tonight. But we're talking about the second purpose of clothing is modesty or to cover up nakedness. Exodus 32 and verse number 25. You'll find out that the people there, Moses had went up into the mountain. And the Bible said, when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. There's that thing of shame. God said it's a shame for people to be naked. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. The beer drinking crowd deal and the dope deal and all that, anything that will take down your inhibitions, you check your Bible out, drunkenness is always associated with nakedness. Noah got drunk and made himself naked. There is constant parallels between being drunk and naked. I'm telling you something, boys, stay away from the drinking crowd. Girls, stay away from, and I'm going to, let's just get something settled right quick tonight about this. Inside marriage, inside God-ordained institution, that's great, that's fine. But anything outside, that's wrong. Okay? And I'm telling you something, Satan always perverts what the wonders of God and the blessings of God. He always perverts that. Now go to Genesis chapter 9 and you'll see this thing with and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these individual situations, but chapter 9 and verse 22, I want you to we're talking about nakedness. Here's the principle. God doesn't want you running around naked. I'm going to say something now. I've said this before. I mean this with all my heart. I do not think it is wise at all. In fact, I think it's very ignorant to go around, let you or your kids go around naked in the house. I understand when they're a little bitty baby and they got diapers on. I understand about that. Now, I want to tell you right now, it don't take very long. They need to have clothes on. And mom and daddy don't need to be going around the house naked. I'm just that way. I'll tell you something. I believe in modesty. I don't think your kids need to see you naked. I don't think they need to see you in your underclothes. I don't, mom or daddy. And everybody can say amen or old. I don't like it. I'm just telling you. Why? You are training them. You are training them. You are training them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train them to be modest. Train them to be covered. I said this before. I remember being down in Texas and working on telephone. And I used to go bareback all the time I was growing up. I mean, I went bareback all the time. Didn't think anything about it. That old boy climbed poles down there, and that old engineer come up there, and he said, hey, get off that pole. He said, you get your shirt on or get off this job. Woo! Me and him had to go around pretty soon. I mean, he had the authority. I mean, I was headed back to Missouri and lost my job, or I got a shirt on. And he kind of cooled off. He said, let me tell you something, son. He said, you seem like a decent, reasonable boy. He said, listen. He said, I'm a Baptist. And that's just what he told me. He said, I'm a Baptist. And I've been taught that we ought not go around naked. And he said, that ain't just for women. That's for men. And he said, you're naked up there, and you're representing the telephone company here in this region, and I don't want it. That's old school. That's good stuff. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think anything about it, but he did. He understood. But he saw things I didn't see. He knew what it is about. He knew what, it don't matter whether I saw it. What does God's book say? That's the issue is not what I think or what I'm used to or my culture. The deal is, what does God say about it? Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his, well, you look in verse number 21. Talking about Noah there, he drank of the wine, there's the liquor, and was drunken and was uncovered. So what do you got? You got liquor, drunkenness, and uncovered. You got nakedness. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Now you listen to me. I just got through preaching to you. I don't think your kids ought to see you naked. You have an exact account in the Bible where a son was cursed because he looked upon his father's nakedness. If that's not enough to convince you, I wouldn't know what else to say. Amen. My mama's not here tonight. So I can say what I want to. No. I wouldn't want to embarrass my mother, but I'm going to tell you about my mama. There's five of us boys grow up in that house. You would never see my mama naked in the house. You never saw my mama go around in her underwear in the house. I promise you that. And I thank God for that. I really do. He said he saw the nakedness of the father and told his two brethren without Shem and Japheth. Look what Shem and Japheth done. They took a garment. By the way, that's the Jews and the Gentiles. That's your Caucasians and your Jewish descendant people there. Your Hamitic people that was the curse. That's your African and North African people. You better be doing some thinking. I mean, you can say what you want to. There's a darkness over that continent. And there's an immorality. You know where AIDS came from? How many knows where AIDS came, the continent it came out of? Africa. I don't know if you've ever studied the documentaries on AIDS out of Africa. It's the most sickening thing you've ever hardly read in your life. I'm telling you, there's a curse. And I've had, listen, just here about several months ago, I had a guy call me up, black truck driver. He'd mad as a hornet at me over what I said about Martin Luther King, them not opening up his deal. Now, I ain't got anything against black people, I ain't got anything against white people, but I want to tell you something. Whether you like it or not, if you're not careful, you've been brain whipped by calling you racist over something. And I don't care. Jesus died for everyone, but I'm going to tell you this. You need to listen to this. This man got a curse on him. His descendants have never, but it's bad. It had terrible, horrific consequences, and I hate it for them, but that's what it did. And it said they went backward and covered their nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Everybody getting this? Your children do not need to see your nakedness. Amen. Okay, go to Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to look a little closer to Leviticus chapter 18. Now, I want to tell you something. Y'all get ready to go. I am thinking about putting this in the paper, this chapter. I haven't got, I won't say I've got a red light or a green light on it, but I'm asking God about it because this country needs this stuff. I'll tell you, incest is sick. Molestation is sick. And it's a shame the churches and preachers aren't preaching on child molestation and incest and so forth. And I'll tell you, where do we get that at? By the way, who says what's right in this world? God's word says what's right. It's not somebody else. Leviticus chapter 8. Let's go down into verse number 6. 18, Leviticus 18, I'm sorry, Leviticus 18, verse number 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near to kin of him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Wow. Now, I'm going to say something else tonight. That means that brothers and sisters do not need to be seeing each other naked in their houses or anywhere else. You don't let your girls run around naked in the house. You don't let your boys run around naked in the house, and you don't have them in the same bedroom. You keep them separate. You keep them modest. You keep everything right. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, y'all kind of got, but I see a little bit like it. I don't care. I'm going to preach this now. Okay. I'm going to be nice. I'm giving you good advice. Not advice. I'm giving you the word of God and good advice. Don't do it. It said, now, look what it said there. The neck is thy father, or the neck is thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The neck is thy father's wife, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or abroad, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, the daughter, I mean, it just goes on down through there, folks. It covers every possible relationship. And by the way, you ought to go home tonight or sometime this week and you ought to read this all yourself and read Leviticus chapter 22, verses 11 through 20, Leviticus chapter 20. And it just goes all the way down through every relationship there is. And I want to tell you something. If American people would get back, I say again, it's a shame we have to even preach on this. But all over this country, social workers are having to deal with fathers who abuse their daughters or sons. And all kinds of junk going on. And I want to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, that's probably the most lowest in hell crime you'll ever commit, is to commit a crime like that against your own children. Amen. You say, well, can't God forgive you? I think he ought to while they're hanging. I think God will forgive you just before they hang you. Yeah. You molest your child, I think they ought to execute you. Amen. That's how bad I'm so against that. No child in this world ought to ever have to worry about their father or their mother doing something stupid like that. And the best way to stay away from that is don't be walking around naked and don't let them see nakedness in your house. Now, this is God's word, and he's serious about this. He says a lot to say in detail about it. It is causing problems in our home. Now, if that be the case, then we ought not be looking at anything on TV or anywhere else that shows nakedness. Okay? All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, Lord, help me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's get down there in verse number 9. Now, a lot of preachers jump up and say, "Are you women? You ought to dress right and not be unclean." I want to tell you something. Did you know that God told men to dress modest a long time before he ever told the women to dress modest? Did you know God said that and he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man? In the Old Testament, long time before we got the New Testament women, did you know the Bible said in the Old Testament that the priests were to wear breeches and not to go upstairs so the thigh was, that's men. You know, and then here we got preachers walking in the pulpit with sandals on and Bermuda shorts on and Hawaiian shirts on. That's sick. You bet it is. That's beach stuff. That's right. No respect for the house of God, nothing else. And I'm just going to say this tonight because a lot of preachers jump up and preach on the women ought to be modest. Long before 1 Timothy 2 is ever written, God told the priest, and by the way, now we are all priests, that they were to wear breeches. Those men were to wear breeches, and they were not to raise their leg up on a step. They were to have a ramp up so that their nakedness of their thigh was be seen. I'll give you the scriptures on that. There's at least... And by the way, just while I'm at it, it was priests, men, who wore the breeches. There's a reason the old timers used to say, who wears the breeches at your house? Yes, sir. That's right. We'll get into that a little bit more, but I'm just saying this to you. This is Bible. I'm not shooting outside here. Verse number 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. Modest apparel. Modest apparel. Modest apparel. What's modest apparel? All I know is this, modest apparel. You can have a dress down at the floor, but it may not be modest. You can have a dress down at the floor, and if it's got a slit comes up here right in there, that's absolutely immodest. Because slits, I mean, they draw attention. Anything that draws attention to your body is immodest. If it draws attention to your body, it's immodest. If you've got low cut up here, whatever it is, if it's not covered, if it's showing flesh, it's not modest. And if it's showing form, it's not modest. I'm sorry. Okay? I just want to be kind about this. I'm not up here beating nobody. I'm 62 years old. This ought to be just a given. Everybody here say, Reggie, you could go on because land saves life. We know that and believe that and we practice that. But it has to be preached now in our churches. You can write down Isaiah 47:2 if you want to about that nakedness. First, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I ain't got it in for nobody or nothing. Amen. I love you. And I'm going to say something. I'm just going to say this. I know Karen don't like me talking about her, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Girls, I'm going to give you a little secret about boys. Boys respect girls who are modest. They respect you. And girls, if you don't dress modest, they will not respect you. They may chase you. Like a buck chases a doe. Like a dog chases another dog. They may chase you. They don't respect you. But if you dress modest, and by the way, modesty is more than just dressing. Modesty is in the eye and in the face. It's in the conduct. It's in the whole person. And boys, I won't tell you, you say what you want to. If a boy doesn't respect your modesty, what in the world would you want to do with him anyway? You know? Girls, I want to encourage you. You don't have a lot of people for you. You want to be modest. But this, God being our helper at this church, we'll support you. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. And I tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? You just need the one guy God has for you anyway. Amen. I'm just saying to you, listen, we want to encourage you in that. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verses number 3 and 4. Who's adorning? Now, it's talking about wives up there in verse number 1. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, in the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Now I want to say something to you. Oh, everybody's still here. Everybody's still here. Say amen. Amen. All right, now let me tell you something. I tell you what I believe God likes. I believe God likes attractive ladies. You say, Red, you're kidding. I thought I was supposed to wear a feed sack. No, we're not talking about you going out wearing a feed sack. You ought to look attractive, especially for your husband.
Amen.
That's right. Nobody's asking you. You know what? You're a lady. There's something inside you wants to look nice. You didn't think we knew that, did you? There's something in you wants to look, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. There's a difference between looking attractive and being lustful. Seductive. Big difference. You can come in this church house, be modestly dressed. I mean, tell you what, be attractive as far as a woman of God. I mean, I'm not talking about sensually attractive. I'm just talking about, you know what? That's a nice looking lady. I've seen women who the world wouldn't give 3 cents for as far as their definition of attractiveness, but they had the beauty of Almighty God on them. Oh, no, they didn't have the prettiest figure in town, and they didn't have all this on, but they were attractive in the sense they had the glory of God on them. Yeah. And I'm telling you, ladies, this. There's nothing wrong with having a new dress. Ain't that right? Say amen right there. Well, women said amen right there. I mean, tell you what. Take your wife to town. Buy her some new blouses and buy her some new skirts and buy her some new clothes. Let's see. Have I done that in the last 15 years? No, I'm serious with you. Hey, girls, I don't want you to think that, well, I'm supposed to be modest, so I'm just going to be an old fuddy-duddy and ugly and nobody, you know, no. That ain't what we're talking about at all. And I don't want the devil telling you that, okay? Now, here's something. You don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 5, there was a devil-possessed man. He had 2,000 devils in him, right? Are you listening? And the Bible tells a story about he was crazy, okay? And the Bible said he was naked. And God saved him. Jesus saved him. Do you know the very first thing that it says about him? He's clothed and in his right mind. Somebody says, Reggie, I don't go around naked, just half naked. Well, you're half crazy. Full naked, full crazy. Half naked, half crazy. Okay. Amen. I'm going to tell you something I ain't never figured out. That's why men want to go around shorts for. Who wants to look at your bow-legged legs and your kneecaps that looks like biscuits? I think the ugliest thing in the world is a man's legs. I mean, no wonder God said he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Woo! Number three. Now we're getting off the deep end. Number three. Tell me the first reason. Protection. Second reason. Modesty. Cover your nakedness. Third reason. Gender. Identity. Gender identity. God created them male and female. And I'm going to tell you a little something. I ain't seen rattlesnakes mating with black snakes. I ain't seen blue jays mating with doves. You better listen. You better say, God says, go to the beast and they will teach thee. Hmm? Animals got more sense than human beings got. We're talking about gender prayer. Take your Bible, Deuteronomy 22:5. Don't sit there and bull up now. Don't sit there and bull up. I'm going to do like a preacher did one time. I've got a few tapes of his, and it makes me so tired to hear him say this. He says, "Everybody love brother so-and-so, say amen." So I'm going to say, "Everybody love brother Reggie, say amen." Every time he goes to preaching on something that he knows might not go so well, he says, "Everybody loves brother so-and-so, say amen." "Everybody love brother Reggie, say amen." Thank you. Got one. All right. Now we're talking about one of the purposes of clothing in the Bible is gender purpose, okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, everybody there say amen. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for most people that do, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." If I love you, if I honest to goodnessly love you, I'm going to show you that verse. I never will forget in my life. I was preaching a revival meeting, and I was preaching like a wild man. And I was right down in here somewhere, and I don't know what all I was preaching. I was preaching on everything I could think of, Brother Bradley. You know, I just wanted to blow them out of the seats the first two nights. And I jumped up, and I said, "I guess it's all right for y'all to wear them men's garments." I said, "I guess it'll be all right for me to come in here tomorrow night with a dress on." And there's an old man stood up. He said, "You do, we'll run you off." I said, "Amen, and you ought to." I mean, he liked to blew up. He couldn't hardly imagine me. He couldn't ever heard a preacher say something like this. I said, "If it's all right for you to wear men's clothing, ladies, I guess it's all right for me to wear a dress, huh?" I'll tell you the problem in this country. We got men wearing pantyhose and women wearing the breeches. That's right. He said, "I don't wear pantyhose." Yes, well, too. She runs the house. You just look at that past scripture. "Woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man." Why did God do that? He just mean to you? He don't understand? He don't know what you're doing? He doesn't understand your life? No, that's God. He can tell you what he wants to, and you don't have it, whether you like it or not, don't have anything to do with it. I'll tell you where it's got us in this country. Let me tell you where it's got us in this country. And you know what's interesting? Starts off with the woman there. It was the women in America who started wearing the men's clothes in World War II. Now look where we're at, a sodomite society. No distinction between the genders. Anybody sweating on your armpits yet? God says it's abomination. You know what that means? Brother Jim preached on that. It's disgusting. It's like vomit. We must have vomited out of his mouth when God sees somebody wearing clothes that does not apprehend to their gender. I want to tell you something. What do you want? Bathrooms that don't have anything on them? Public? You know what? The smallest child in this church house understands that principle. It's built into him. If I drew up on this board tonight, this here, you kids tell me, what does that represent? Kids, no adults say nothing. What's that mean? Girl, if this is the bathroom, what do you know about that? What does that tell you? If you see that on the bathroom door, what's that tell you? Huh? It's a girl's bathroom and you don't go in. You go in, you're going to get whooping. And you might get beat to death with three persons while you're in there. The smallest child in this church house knows that means that's a gender identity. The smallest child in this church house knows what's that? What's that represent? You don't know? Can't figure out my drawing. That's a man. He ain't got a dress on. Okay. He's dressed now, amen. He got on overalls and Carhartt coats and everything else. Now, here's what we're getting to. If there's anything I can't stand, it's men who are effeminate. I don't like effeminate men. I don't like them. I know I got 11, but I don't like them. Don't want to be around them. I don't want to shake hands. I don't like shaking hands with them. I don't like sissies. I'll tell you what some of you need to do. You need to get your little sissy boys out and make them work. Amen. Amen. Some, I'll tell you what, you, some of you boys, the girls in this church house will whip you. Amen. You're such a sissy. Some of the girls going over, that's right. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you raise no sissy boys in this church like Wilson did here. I tell them Wilson boys, they're like, Zachary always said, how many of you ever heard the story about, what's that guy that used to tell those jokes? Jerry Clower's bull joke. Oh, yeah. Little old Jersey bull just ran around the pen and go, rawr. I said, you're going to get killed. That big old bull's going to kill you. He said, I just want him to know I am a bull. Yeah. You may be little, but you can let it be known you're a man. And I'm not talking about being an egomaniac, but you can be a man. You can be a man. You don't have to act like an idiot, but you can be a man. The priests in the Old Testament were men. Now, I'm not going to look them up for time's sake tonight. We need to go. But there are five or six passages, Exodus 28, Exodus 39, Leviticus chapter 6, and Ezekiel chapter 44 teaches that the priests wore breeches. Okay? They wore breeches. No one... And here's the gender identity principle. No one ought to have to look at you twice to figure out whether you're a man or woman. Yes. Nobody ought to have to look at you. They ought to be able to tell in a half a second glance, that's a woman, that's a man. If there's any problem with that, you are messed up. You're messing yourself up. You're getting messed up. I'm going to tell you something. Don't do that. I don't care whether you're a boy or girl. You make sure that it's easily and quickly discernible as to whether you're a girl, female, or male. And it's not just clothes. Sometimes it's hair or jewelry or whatever. The Bible talks about girding up your loins like a man. That means wear a belt. I don't like these men's breeches with no belt. Now, overalls is okay. It looks like some woman's slacks you're wearing. I'll think you're queer if I don't see a belt on you. I don't like it. It's the direction you're heading that bothers me. Next thing you know, you're going to have pink underwear you're wearing. Now, I'm going to say something. In the Bible, men would wear the breeches. In the Bible, men would be the head of their home. It's just the way it is. I didn't set that up. God set that up. There used to be loving. He's to be a servant. He's to let him, the chief among you, be servant of all. He's to be kind. He's to be a protector. He's to be a provider. He ain't some bull running around saying, everybody wait on me and I'm the boss and I'll beat everybody up. They don't salute me when I walk in. That's junk. That's hell's trash. He's to be a kind, loving servant to his family, but leading and ruling his family. Now, I know nobody likes this. Now, this, I have a little trouble in this. Sometimes I wonder about it, but I've said this. I'm going to say it tonight. I'm going to say it again. I don't have any problem with you women wearing jeans. If they're baggy. Only problem is I don't see many women wearing baggy jeans. And when I say baggy, I just mean not super tight. Why do you want, please help me to understand. Why do you want, I mean, if you're going to go pick blackberries and there's copperhead snakes out there, wear some breeches and boots. Please do something. Protect yourself. If you're going to go dig the sewer line ditch with your husband out there, you know. But you know something? I know most of the world thinks that culottes is corny. But they're not. They're not. What it is, it's a way for women to have something to work in and still be feminine. That's all it is. And if you've let the world make you think that culottes is corny, I'm sorry for you. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. In our family, you know, sometimes there are situations I wouldn't want my wife wearing a dress when I'm out where snakes is at. I want boots up high. I ain't going to send her out there in a pair of slippers and, you know, nothing on her ankles. Okay? I mean, there's some reasonable stuff to this. I don't know where to draw the line at. But here's kind of what gets me is that by and large, I think it ought to be, it's a biblical principle for women to wear what appertains to a woman, and men wear what they obtain. Now, if you've got the situation where you need to wear something that's not a dress, all I say is, why wear it so tight? I just don't understand. Why? And then let me ask you one more question about that. Why put the sequins on the back pockets? Oh, to get the men. Oh, I didn't know that. To get the men to look. I always wondered what that was about. It is men now, isn't it? I saw that the other day. A man wearing breeches, sequins on the back of his breeches. Oh. That's part of this unisex society, isn't it? So the men's supposed to get a haircut now with no sideburns. Whacked right off up here, look like a woman's short haircut. No distinction between genders, folks. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to jump on. I'm just saying you ought to ask yourself, you know what? The way I'm dressing, the way I'm appearing, is this going to match my identity that God created me to be? That's what you need to ask. Don't worry about Reg Kelly. Do y'all still love Brother Reg? Hey, amen. Okay.
Wrong tone of voice.
Right. Right. I don't know why I'm saying this again. Don't be raising no sissies in this church. I don't know why I'm saying that. Don't be raising no sissies. Number four. Let's go back to what's first principle. What's the first purpose?
Protection.
Second purpose. Third purpose.
Gender identity.
Fourth purpose is authority. You know what? I don't want nobody coming down the road in a blank pickup truck and throwing a light on me. And I don't want a guy getting out of a highway patrol car ain't got a uniform on. Now you listen to me. Clothes show authority. I don't want no preacher getting up in sandals, Bermuda shorts, and a Hawaiian shirt on preaching to me behind the pulpit. I want him to be at least, you know, I'm just saying this to you. I ain't saying you got to wear what I wear. I'm just saying that you ought to wear that which appertains to the authority behind the pulpit. He's spoken to them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The House of Representatives, is it still that way, Van? A man don't get on the floor without a jacket and a tie. That's a good law. If they didn't have that, them guys would be walking in there and throwing their bare legs up on the table and be the awful cesspool mess you ever seen in your life. And they've got rules for women, how they dress. And I'm telling you something, and you're in a position of authority, God, you go down through the, listen, I'm going to tell you what, if a Forest Service guy drove up, I think he needs to have some type of attire on that recognize him as an authority in that position, whatever it is. Whether it's police, military, you know what, military guys, they got uniforms on. They got the attire of authority on. And I'm just saying this, that God did that. Judges, why do judges wear robes? It's in the scripture because they have robes. It's a position of authority. Their clothes spoke of their position of authority. Priests were authority. Men to rule the household. How do you dress? As I said, who wears the breeches around here? It is a message of authority. Going back to this thing about, because all these things are interconnected, okay? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I think doctors and nurses ought to be dressed in such a way that you know who they are when you're in a hospital. If you don't have that, who's to say who walks in and says, well, I'm a nurse. How do you know they're a nurse? There was a time when nurses really dressed like nurses and you didn't have any problem figuring out who was a nurse in a hospital. What if somebody just walks in and says, I need to give you this shot? And you say, well, I can't tell by how you're dressed who you are. Do you have any authority around this place? Do you see the value? Well, we've had events here. You've got a deal set with firefighters or whatever it may be. They need to be dressed according to their authority. I'm going to leave that as it is and roll on. Fifth one is identity. Identity. You say, well, I thought you talked about man, woman. No, we're talking a different thing here. Clothing, what you and I dress in, tells people who we identify with. If you've never wrote this down, you need to write it down. Imitation is the greatest form of admiration. I was in a place this week listing an auction. going from room to room. They're telling me, you know, I'm writing, they're talking. I walk in this room, they say, this is my daughter's room. I walk in there, and the most ungodly, out of hell posters on the wall you ever seen in your life. I'm talking about vile. And I knew immediately who this girl was identifying with. All the Hollywood world's vile characters. Now I'm talking about satanically looking weirdos. Okay? Found out a little later on. I probably ought to keep my mouth shut, but she caused a lot of problems. Dress reveals who you identify with. Who do you imitate by your dress? A rock star? A Hollywood star? A sports star? Models? The drug culture? It tells who you're with. Identity. It tells who you're with. As I said, the world, your clothes say it for you. In the Bible, there was the attire of a harlot. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 10, said she had on the attire of a harlot. There's mourning clothes. There's all kinds of different identity clothing in the Bible. And what you and I identify with, we've laughed about this a lot, but whenever I was wearing platform shoes, who was I trying to identify with? The culture, world's culture. When I was letting my hair go down my shoulders, who was I trying to identify with? When I'd go around with strap t-shirt on, you know, that's so stupid. I look back at that. I didn't have any muscles. What did I think I was trying to show off? You know, but who you were trying to identify with. I think about this here. I've been reading a story here a while back about a man, and he's Roman Catholic. But as far as a human guy going, I'll tell you what, he had his act together. And his name is Pat Coggins. Maybe you probably don't know him. He's in the cattle industry. He's just quite a guy. But I was reading his life story recently, and Pat Coggins told about when they left out of California, broke and busted in 1930s, and headed back to Montana to some of their family. They didn't so much as have a place to live, and they had six kids in the car. And for 7 days and seven nights, they traveled from California to Montana and slept on the side of the road and only ate food that their mother brought with them. And he said, by the time we got to Montana, my mama's bread that she had cooked for us for the trip was all molded. They moved into a little old shack or a side shack of their relatives had up there. It was the only thing they had to move into. But they were able to get jobs. Now listen to me. They were able to get jobs hoeing in the beet fields in east of Billings, Montana. Now that's not easy work. But the eight of them, six children and the mom and dad, would hoe from morning till night in the beet fields, and they could average 7 to 8 acres a day as a family. And they got $4 an acre, which in the Depression was making big money. And they thought they had the world by the tail. But this is what got me. He said, my mama would get up at 4 o'clock, cook enough bread, bake enough bread, make enough sandwiches, put together enough food for the whole family for the whole day, get it packed. And my mama would go with us and said, my mama worked as hard as anybody, but said my mama wore a dress. It said mama put gunny sacks around her knee, tied gunny sacks around her knees so she didn't just literally chew her knees up in the beet fields. She was that modest. Roman Catholic lady. And I said, well, Lord, we've come a long way. We've come a long way. Willing to get out there and work with her children and her husband to try to scratch out a living, but wanting to be modest while she is in the field. Wanting people to know when they drove by, that's a woman. And wrap gunny sacks around her knees. And so I want to encourage you today this. In closing, I want to say the first thing that God did after he saved Adam and Eve, he changed their clothes. I think one of the first things God will do after he saves us is make us think about how we're dressing in a way not to offend others or cause them to fall spiritually or to cause others to defraud and bring about immorality. Does anybody in this building know the last thing the Nazis did to the Jews before they put them in the gas ovens? They stripped them. The Bible says that the very first thing that you're to add to your faith is virtue. Virtue is moral purity. Virtue is modesty. God does not say add knowledge, add Bible doctrine, add all this other stuff, add theology to your faith. It says add virtue. Let me tell you why. There's more preachers taken down by lack of virtue than any other reason in the world. More lives ruined because of lack of virtue. And this has to do with clothing and so forth. It's mixed in that mixed. God created them male, female. Remember that? Masculine, feminine. Girls, when you're picking out clothes to wear, you need to ask yourself, is that a feminine attire? Is that attire feminine? Or does it have a masculine look? And if you want to know how, if you girls want to know what it really is, ask your dad. Say, Daddy, would you look at this before I buy this? I'd like for you to get your opinion. Is this appropriate for me? Is this, you know? And develop a relationship with your daddy. Bring him in on the deal. Don't be trying to buy stuff around your daddy. Let me tell you something. I knew a situation. I was in on it close where a pastor, a preacher, his wife was helping his daughter, their daughter, to buy clothes that they knew the daddy would not approve of buying. Can you imagine such a thing? The wife sneaking the daughter around, buying, helping her to get clothes that they knew the daddy wouldn't like. I want to tell you something, wives. That's probably one of the lowest down things I've ever heard tell of in my life. To go around your own husband and to lead your own daughter into immorality by buying immodest clothes that knew the daddy wouldn't go along with. And I want to say something to you mamas. If you do that, you need to get right with God. You're not right with God. You're not right with your own husband. You're not right with your children to do that. So add to your faith virtue. Make sure that it's male or female, masculine or feminine. And then let me say this to you. Train up. God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, not depart from it. I will tell you this, that training in clothing wear is some of the first and earliest and most important training that you're going to do with your children. You need to train your daughters to be modest, young. Young. Teach them modesty young. Teach them these things. Teach your sons to be modest. And God will honor that. I want to ask you a final question tonight before we go home. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your closet? Is he the Lord of your clothes closet? And I'd encourage you to go home, open the closet door up. Maybe you need to look at your children's clothing and say, you know, does this honor the Lord? And I'm going to tell you tonight, something tonight. Don't you men go do this and start jerking clothes out of the closet. Don't do that. What I would say to you is that if you're going to do that, you take down a clothing article and you say, you know what, let's talk about this. Does this represent our Lord? And I'm not going to start getting horsey with you and getting rough with you, but you know what, let's pray together. God will give us grace in this home to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you this tonight. God's principles and purposes in clothing is for our good. It is not for our destruction. It's for our blessing in our generations. I pray that God will bless this message to your hearts and lives and to your homes and to all of us to his glory. Let's stand together.